August 10th, 2009, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah.
From Pedro Show, August 10, 2009, a Monday night. Started off with John Coltrane, Things Ain't What They Used to Be. And then we heard from Yukari Roja, I Know Uta, which is a love song. And Brother Matt,
yeah,
welcome aboard here. Get your talker.
Yeah, hello.
It's all bound up.
The talker's bound up.
There you go.
Howdy.
And we had to do a Monday night because you're about to leave for the Blue Morpho.
Yeah, ready to boogie. Days away.
And, that was a... It came Jason, to you and a Jack...
Chasing Jack Flanders.
Yeah, Jack Flanders flashback. Because it's an adventure Jack Flanders where he's in the Blue Morpho.
Yeah.
So if we listen back to that, we'd probably hear sounds that you're about to hear.
Yeah, some jungle sounds.
Yeah. And when do you leave?
Thursday night.
Thursday, okay. And how long?
20 days.
20 days.
20 days of Amazon adventure.
Brother Matt, we got a guest.
Yeah.
Mr. Rafi.
Welcome.
Hi.
Who's from originally from Bulgaria.
That's right.
Yeah.
Welcome
and
to Pedro.
First time to Pedro, but you lived in L.A. before.
Yeah, I did some schooling here, freelance a little bit.
And you're here courtesy of Deke, who ain't here. But that's cool. She's been on the show a lot, and I'm guessing her connection with you is couchsurfing.com.
That's correct.
Yeah.
My first host.
Right. So you're caulking at her pad, LaSalle Park.
I did. That's right.
Yeah. Great.
How are her couch surfing facilities?
How would you rate them?
The facilities. I don't know what the criteria is, but she's very friendly. The house has a perfect location and view.
And that's a good facility.
That's already
rating.
Too good, right?
Excellent.
Yeah. Nice vibes.
Yeah, she's good people. Did she take your picture yet?
Yes. As soon as I came in, actually. Very casual, really.
So how long were you in L.A. when you were here before?
A little over 5 years.
5 years?
I did 4 years of school.
Yeah.
Maybe five and a half altogether.
How long ago?
01 to 06-ish.
2001, 2006.
Yeah.
Before that, where were you?
Bulgaria.
Ah.
Yeah.
So was it your first time out?
First time across the ocean.
Yeah. But you traveled through Europe before.
You know, yes. Yeah, not so much. Just neighboring countries because of the politics at the time.
Oh, wow. How old are you?
Now I'm 30.
30. When did they start changing? Late 80s?
89.
Yeah, 89. That's right. So that's 20 years ago. You were 10.
Yes, I was 10.
So do you got big memories of the older way? Or boy memories?
Well, I have some, yeah. I have some, certainly. Sometimes I remember things that I always did, but now the contrast is more striking than it used to be.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us about some contrast.
Oh, boy, it's so many levels, I have no idea where to start from.
You know U.S. people. What would be, like, kind of wild for U.S. people, contrast? That you got going now that you didn't have when you were 10 and younger.
Is this show broadcast in L.A.? Or is it everywhere?
The whole world.
Earth. Okay. Probably more interesting for L.A. people than anybody else because everybody drives here. But one car-related memory.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, basically you could only buy cars that are made in the Eastern Bloc. That would be maybe 75% Russian cars.
Yeah.
Ladas.
Well, Ladas were actually a Fiat that they licensed.
Did they? I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So. Maybe I'm wrong.
Ladas were if you were middle class. Moskvich is sort of the everyday everybody's car. But when I say everybody's car, you know, not everybody had a car.
Right.
But
right,
the thing was, not only could you not buy a Western-made car, but you would wait, I think, between 15 and 18 years to get from the moment when you have money to the moment that your car is being delivered.
Wow.
So you would
wow.
apply for it. The official term was applying for a license, and your license takes about an adulthood to come around. So basically, if you have a baby, you put down, I don't know what the proper term would be, application, or not a down payment, because you have to have the money in full, so it's not. But it would come around by the time he's ready to drive.
Wow.
And of course, the model would have changed very little, because
that was not you into that model that you, the year that you applied, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
it would not have. Roads where that happened.
Sorry?
How were the roads?
You know, probably
better now?
Probably whatever you can imagine. Well, they're building slowly. At the same time, other roads are getting destroyed. So, you could see some really strange things for an urban environment, which you probably wouldn't see here. Although that freeway I was on, not, you know, I mean, I guess a lot of traffic. So.
Right, so it's a slow go.
But there are places in town. I'm from Plovdiv, which is the second biggest town, which is, you know, kind of a major area for the country. You could go not even way out of town to see holes, maybe, what is this, like a foot deep. And when it rains, you don't know how deep it is. So basically, if it rains, just avoid any kind of puddle.
Right, you're talking about potholes in the road.
Right.
Yeah, wow.
It's really good.
Maybe a little rough on the car there.
Right.
Wow.
So,
do Do you remember when the change came?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, what were you doing? Probably going to
grade school,
right?
Probably running around. I don't know that I had very vivid memory. Like, I didn't really understand what was going on. To me, it was just, you know, something on TV, you know, people burning the parliament, you know, this kind of thing. Nothing really. The contrast was more probably the life during that time and the life afterwards than the actual splitting point. Like, it wasn't very.
What about the food situation?
The
Did
food
it change?
Yeah, we had some things after, shortly after the change of the regime.
And you didn't have.
Yeah, there was a coupon. Are you guys familiar with the coupon system?
No.
Like, not these kind of coupons you guys have. Oh, hello. Coupons in the sense of there's shortage of things.
Right.
Bread, oil, sugar, whatever. So every household gets whatever their allowance is. So money doesn't play a role at this point. If you don't have a coupon, you can't get it.
Ah.
And if
kind of like rationing.
Is that what it's called here?
Right, Brother Matt, rationing. Hey guys, we're trying to do a show here.
So.
Rationing?
I don't know what rationing
is. Rationing means like there's only so much available, so we gotta like kind of dole it out. So it's
Yeah.
You don't all get used up or.
Yeah, basically you would, you know. I forget what the amount was, but like if you have one bread a day for a household, then
you
obviously have to have the money, you have to have the coupon, and you have to not be towards the end of the line.
There was lines, right?
Oh, huge lines.
Yeah, right.
My grandfather, bless his soul, would get up at 4, you know, to go wait in line.
Get in the line.
Yeah, because by the time he gets to the bread, would be the time when most people have to start work, so my mother wouldn't go. You know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a strike. Is there lines nowadays?
Hmm?
Lines nowadays? No, there's probably more place. Or is there still lines?
There are lines, but they were changing. First, lines were at the grocery stores. Then they were at the various embassies. And now, it's surprising they're the coffee shops. For no obvious reason.
Shops.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Bulgaria, probably that strong Turkish kind of coffee, huh?
yeah, you could call it Turkish, I guess. But I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's not filtered.
Not filtered.
Yeah, I had some in Serbia, in Belgrade, and it's very strong.
Do they call it Turkish there, too?
I think he calls it Armenian.
We call it Armenian because my family is Armenian.
Well, yeah, there's probably some reasons why it's called that. But I don't know why it was called that. Maybe,
Well, it comes from the Ottoman Empire, so Greeks call it Greek. You know, Armenians call it Armenian.
So there's some history baggage. The names of things.
It's probably Ottoman is the best.
Different than our filtered coffee, in like you didn't drink it all the way to the bottom because.
Well, there's a thing.
Stuff sitting on the bottom. But I liked it.
The way do you know the proper way of drinking it?
No, I mean
because it comes from the. Actually, I don't know how you grind it and how you prepare the coffee, but I know it from boiling. Till the end of the process, so. I'm not going to go into describing the process, probably. It's not very interesting. But once your coffee is made, you ask how much you drink. Right? So there's a kind of a fine line. You obviously don't want to drink the whole thing because there's the...
sediment.
The sediment.
Yeah, because it's
the bottom.
Not filtered.
But you can't drink... You can't leave a lot either because what happens after you drink the coffee, you put your cup, your plate on top of the cup. You flip it upside down. And you know, you're having conversation, eating cookies, whatever it's called. In about 10-15 minutes, when it all dries out, you take the cup, you turn it around, and the person who's experienced in that, in the company, there should always be one, tells your future by reading your cup.
Ah.
Yeah.
Righteous.
So if you left too much liquid inside, it'll wash everything. So
it's a hard read.
Yeah. You will mess up your future and you don't want to.
Rafa, where'd you learn English so well?
I studied
5 years
here.
Yeah. I've been here 51 years.
I think just being in a country where nobody, most
people. Did you learn it over there first, like primitive?
I had formal instruction at home. Yeah, but I always liked languages too. I have friends that have spent the same amount of time here or more, maybe, that, you know, just, I don't know. I don't know why, but some people just...
Some people got a knack for it. Yeah, pick it up.
I just love it.
How many languages you speak?
Well, fluently, I just speak Bulgarian and Armenian. Well, and I speak Greek a little bit because my mother has been living there for a long time.
And English, too. So that's four.
Yeah, I guess. Russian is very similar to Bulgarian. So if you speak to me in Russian, I'll understand everything. But if I speak to you, I'll speak with a mistake.
Probably Slav, too.
Macedonian is...
Yeah.
In Bulgaria, you don't translate on TV when there's anything.
Yeah, because it's so... In Croatia, Serbia...
And also Bulgaria claims...
What about like Poland, Czech?
Polish... You know? Not Czech, but Polish...
Yeah.
Depends how fast you speak it.
Slovakia?
Maybe no.
That's close to Czech.
Yeah.
Because we got... In Pedro, we got a big Slav community.
Yeah?
And, I mean, when I came here from Virginia when I was 10. And I never heard that language. You know, and the cats here are speaking that in Italian and, of course, Spanish, right? I'm at school. And then when I started touring and going to Europe, and I hear the sounds, especially in the East, it reminds me of Pedro. Even though I know there's big, there's regional differences
right.
and stuff, that the sounds
right.
are similar. It took me back from when I was a young boy first coming to Pedro and hearing the Slav language.
Cool
flag.
And what's your background?
Huh?
Your background?
My mother's people were from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
My father's mother's from Denmark, and his daddy, the one named Watt, is Scottish.
Hmm.
They came a long time ago. The other one's more recent. So, it was a trip. I was always interested. I was always interested, too, when I found out about Slavs and Pedro. I looked at a map, and I saw San Pedro, and I saw... And they're mainly from this island off Dalmatia called Nice. It's like, how'd they find this town? You know, how could these two... And what happened was some people got here and they told the rest. Yeah. Hmm. Connections through families, right? Marsich is a big clan.
Yeah.
It's not like they're throwing a dartboard and, well, yeah, okay, Pedro. And fishing at Dalmatia coast, a lot of fishing. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. But at first I didn't understand, wow, the connection, how... Found out. Now we got some other guests. What's this guy going to camp out in the head or what? Peek's here, everybody. Say hi, Peek.
Hello.
And you brought over a friend?
Ooh, Roma.
Hi.
Hi.
We're friends.
Via the couchsurfing.com.
They met before with Rafi.
Rafi. How are you doing?
And how do you spell?
Roman.
Roma.
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 Roma, yeah.
Oh, because French.
Yeah. It's the R.
Oh. And what town are you from?
Versailles.
Versailles?
Near Paris.
Yeah, I know. Very pretty house.
Palace of Versailles.
Mansion. Mansion.
And the other one is Lou.
Lou?
And he's in the Lou.
Lou is in the Lou, yeah. And he is from Anières.
Anières?
Anières sur Seine, near Paris. Very close.
Ah. So you're both close enough, but not in it. Sort of like Pedro with Hollywood. Yeah. We're close.
Yeah.
But not too close. Maybe 30 miles.
I tried
45 clicks.
I tried to go find some lobster for them, because I heard in France, lobster is a little bit hard to find, I guess. Yes.
And so expensive, too.
You could have found it here, Portugal. It's pretty expensive.
But it is
$18 a pound.
Yeah, it's not the season, I guess.
Oh, you didn't find any?
Yeah, but not cheap.
Well, there's a thing where they got to be so big before you can take them, because they went and wiped them. Hey,
hi.
Lou, how are you doing?
How are you?
How do you spell your name?
Loup.
Loup?
Yeah, you just don't pronounce it yet. Yeah,
that's okay.
Loup.
Welcome aboard. You guys ever been to Pedro?
No. Never.
First this is the harbor of Los Angeles.
Okay.
We're a harbor town. We were telling Rafi here. Most people here load and unload boats.
Mm-hmm.
Some fishing fleet's kind of small now, there's a lot of tradition in it. But his grandfather helped start a big tuna company.
Okay.
You know, like tuna fish in a can?
Tuna fish, yes. I see.
Starkist.
Mm-hmm.
Chicken of the Sea, Bumblebee. There's a lot of companies came out of here.
Fishing is a big business here.
It was. Now it's smaller.
Smaller.
We're too good at it.
Yeah.
And fished out. Oh yeah. Okay. You have to farm fish, and you can't just take. But older days, you didn't realize it. But we still got a little fleet, maybe 30 mm-hmm. boats. And the canneries went away. They're in Samoa now.
Yeah.
But there used to be there's an island on the other side of the harbor is Long Beach. You ever hear that, Jeff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we share the harbor with Long Beach, and in between is Terminal Island, and that's where all the canneries used to be.
Okay.
Is it the biggest port of the world, isn't it?
I think as far as like moving tons, I think.
Yeah, depending Singapore on what statistics you look at.
Yeah, I think Singapore and Hong Kong are ahead of us.
Yeah, if you
but
look
we're
at
bigger than Rotterdam now.
Number of containers is another way that they look at it.
Right.
So, yeah, depending on what statistics, it's one, two, or three.
Mm-hmm. We move a lot, but you know what? That stuff coming from Hong Kong and Singapore is coming. Most of it's coming through here, so we're kind of sisters. Huh. But we're bigger than Rotterdam now. That used to be the big daddy. And bigger than Lisbon, which is by New York, the East Coast one. We had a name. My father was a sailor, so we had a Navy base here, and it was taking up space. When they got rid of that Navy base, turned the whole harbor into can term. We call them containers, cans. Mm-hmm. All the stuff moves in those.
It's trippy. That's a Chinese shipping company. It used to be the Navy base.
Yeah, right. All kinds. They're all over. And like this morning, I was riding my bike, crack of dawn. No sunrise, so much marine layer. A China boat came out, China shipping, maybe crew of like 12, 13 guys, and mm-hmm. you know, 900 cans. Each can is a semi-truck. A lot of Casio watches.
Yeah.
And it's a trip to see them leaving full, too, because they usually full coming in, but not going
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Riding high on the way out.
Yeah, riding high on the way out. Yeah, because we buy a lot more than sell. Hmm. Yeah. It's like all the trade from Asia. Actually, we're in competition. Alameda, the name base that used to be by San Francisco, it turned into a can terminal, and Seattle's got one, Portland's got one. San Diego's got a little bit, but they still got a lot of Navy there. But we're the big daddy. In fact, I think our name's called Worldport or something. Yeah,
Worldport.
A slogan that some Chamber of Commerce people brainstormed.
Branding.
But it's a good thing about it is cats living here working, they don't, you saw that on the freeway. A lot of that, if you noticed, there was one head probably in every car. That's called mm-hmm. commuting. Now, bad thing about SoCal is we have no rapid transit worth anything. Right. So all these cars. So working men in Pedro don't have to go far to work. Hmm. It's very localized to work, so that's a very good thing. We did have the biggest light rail system in the world. We had 1,000 miles of light rail in 1960. They sold it all for buses. Big scam to make money. But I don't want to depress you too much. So let's play some music. Oh, you know, last week I was in New York City.
Yeah.
And I got to interview Richard Hale. And cool. I wanted to talk about the old day. I asked him about the clothes. Yeah, he got kind of touchy about that. So I want to play some Richard Hale music that I wanted to play last week. But yeah, okay, one for me.
Coming through.
Watt from Pedro Show. Okay, we heard some Richard Hell. Now, I played those four songs just now because I wanted to ask him about it. Actually, there are four different versions of the same music. First, we heard Love Comes in Spurts by the Neon Boys. Then we heard Love Comes in Spurts by the Heartbreakers. And then one track, Mine, by the Heartbreakers. And then Love Comes in Spurts by Richard Hell and the Voidoids. Now, I found out from the Neon Boys, same kind of words, but you can tell the music's way different. They had never played a gig. I didn't know that. And it tripped me out. He said they wouldn't play as a trio. They were looking for a second guitarist, a fourth member. And then the Heartbreakers is a band he made with Johnny Thunders. And I really wanted to ask about Johnny Thunders because I really enjoyed his music. I didn't get a chance. And then one track, Mine, was he had left the Heartbreakers and they got a guy named Billy Rath on bass and they made an album called LAMF. And there's this song on there called One Track, Mine. And actually, before we did the show, I went to St. Mark's Church with him for some... they set up a fund for poets who get sick and don't have money. This kind of endowment donated by this lady. There's going to be a festival there named after Allen Ginsberg's Howl. And Richard said some poems at it, spoke there. And on the way, walking back to his pad, he still lives, you know... Ginsberg I asked him about this. You know, with these birds getting, and he goes, "Oh yeah, those guys used to do that." He said, "I never heard it." He said, "I never heard this." Okay, but it's the same music. I think Waldo is singing it, Walter Lure. And then Love Comes in Spurts, the one off the Blank Generation, the famous one, of course. So it's weird how this song evolved for me, being in a band and trying to write songs and make records too, but he has reason. He did talk about the old days a little bit because he redid Destiny Street. Yeah, he found this tape, like a roughs, like when you go in during the day, you do your sessions and they give you a rough, because the masters got destroyed. So he took this and he sang over it, and he had Bill Frisell and Mark Rebo play guitar.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it's a trip. So that's going to come out. It's called Destiny Street Repaired.
Cool.
And I did get to talk some old stuff about it. But, you know, I probably was foaming on him, but he's my first punk rock hero. Now, while we were playing the music, Lou was talking to Rafi here. What were you asking him?
Yeah, what was my question again?
After something about mentality.
The end of
USSR. Oh, yeah.
USSR.
Because, so, Rafi came from Bulgaria. I'm true. So, after the end of communism government in Bulgaria, how do you feel that? I mean, is there mentality differences between the comparison, in comparison with the past and the present, actually? How people behave? And how do you felt when you were 10 and the government just fall down?
I don't remember really how I felt. I don't have many memories from... I don't remember my feeling from the time. But...
Yeah, I'm blaming you. I can't remember a lot of shit when I was 10.
Yeah, sure.
But I do remember events and things. And now, of course, I could have a feeling from this perspective now, 20 years later.
Yeah.
So it's not the same, you know?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay, what about on the other hand? How old are you, Lou?
21. I'm 21.
He's 30.
Sorry?
He's 30.
Yeah, I know. Old guy.
20.
20. Yeah. Young cats.
Yeah,
so
sure.
You know what? This stuff was happening when you were born.
Yeah.
Yes, the same year.
Yeah, so you have no idea before.
No, we just...
Because I wanted to ask you, you guys being Frenchmen, do you feel safer?
No.
Without a USSR?
Not really. We've never lived with that treason. I mean, we have always feel like...
No, when we hear on the news that there are conflicts or arguments between Russia and America. We feel like we are between both of them and we can't do anything.
So that's scary.
We are not loud enough.
Last summer there was trouble with Georgia. Not the U.S. Georgia, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, I think the French boss went over and made the peace, or brokered it or something. Sarkozy?
He tried to...
He did.
Make a deal or something.
Sarkozy is very involved in European peace... European movement for peace.
Yeah.
And he wants to Europa to be like a safe continent.
Yeah.
To put an end to every conflict.
Yeah.
And have you heard of the woman who was captured by the South American guys?
Yeah, FARC.
Yeah, Colombia.
Yeah, Colombia FARC.
And finally, he made a lot for her and he succeeded in bringing her back.
Had a release, yeah.
To France, maybe 10 years after, I don't remember. 10-15 years later.
He's locked.
Yeah, yeah, 10 years.
Yes.
Just you guys, where did you learn your English?
Oh, 9 years ago.
School?
Yeah, but my English is not good.
Oh, it's pretty good.
I wish you can understand.
You know, the older days were like when I first was touring and stuff. Not much English in France.
Mm.
Yeah, much more popular now to be able to speak.
Yep.
So maybe more in the schools?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
French people are thought to be not very... interested in foreign languages.
Yeah.
Very
you have a department for that.
Yeah.
You know what, though? You know, yeah. There are so many things that people say about the French.
Yeah.
And I've been there so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, you're going to meet some, you know, whatever
mean?
Kind of people, but you meet them in every land.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
the most part, I really like people I've met there. I've been mm-hmm. treated very well, very nice.
Well, they're
it's
very
crazy, but this is what happens. And this is why I'm very interested and very grateful to Peak. For this couchsurfing.com thing where people
absolutely
meet people.
Thank you very much.
Opinion just from television and rumors,
yeah.
and you actually meet the people, and or you go to their lands, their guests, or they get to be guests in your lands, and you get rid of all this bullshit, know-it-all, uneducated opinions.
You can hear from the country by thanks to people who live every day in this place and know everything that is going on. For example, the French riots, which take place 1 year ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
On the French news, we heard that American news were saying were too aggressive about what was really happening.
Yeah.
They were making too much noise that it was really.
Yeah.
It was not Paris is burning. Paris
the
is
whole,
on fire.
Yeah.
It's but
a couple neighborhoods.
In some areas, there are riots. That's it, and not everywhere. Not
tourists
are in danger. Don't go there.
Yeah, yeah.
What you heard that in America? Really?
Yeah,
that
there is some silly shit.
Like civil war in France, terrible.
Look, there was a time, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, when they wanted to stop saying French fries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I've heard about that.
Fries.
Yeah, it sounds. Yeah.
Was it 7 years ago? Really?
Yeah.
The beginning of the.
2001.
It was this kooky stuff. It was this really kooky stuff. Because do you guys know about a thing called
Hot Pocket?
Yorktown.
No.
Sorry. I'm kidding.
Really,
sorry.
It's really in Hot Pocket. So anyway.
Sorry.
Hot Pocket.
We discovered we discovered that in the United States.
Yorktown.
Yorktown.
No.
What?
Well, we had this divorce with England.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And the last battle was called Yorktown.
Oh,
and the French, they brought their navy, they brought their soldiers, they helped us. We couldn't have won our revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which?
So I don't know what the freedom fries, I mean, the
sure,
see these clowns, this is ridiculous.
Mm.
So, I'm glad you're here.
Finally.
How long you been traveling?
45 days.
45
today,
days.
Yeah.
Cool. That's your first U.S. trip?
For me, yeah.
Third.
Thursday.
Yes.
But it was
Cal?
Sorry?
Southern California?
Yes.
No, you were in Raleigh.
Oh no, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, Raleigh.
Yes. I was in a host family. But never had such a road trip like this one. We started in New York.
Oh.
The hitchhike from
wow.
Oh, ground buses. Down. Never take
now
ground buses.
Yeah, now I don't know about hitchhiking somewhere. Might be a little scared.
No, but it's so interesting because we see a lot of different landscape and a lot of different people behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, grand buses is really interesting for that. and all parts of America are so different. And
they are, a lot of regions, a lot of different, well, just the land.
Yes, just
the land. Yeah,
you
just
can have mountain, you can have bayou, you can have
forest,
desert, yeah, forest, different dialects in all those areas.
Also, yes.
Yeah, we're not able to recognize different accent.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it is told, and it is true, that on the West Coast people are maybe more welcoming, you say?
Ah, really? Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what it is told, and it is true.
I'll tell you this, our weather's calm.
Yes.
We don't get real hot, we don't get real cold.
Mm.
Right now, the East Coast, very humid. What are summers like in Bulgaria? Humid?
Bulgaria? No, not that humid. I would say, I like saying that it's the same like New York without the humidity.
Oh, so it's still hot, but not... I was in New York last week, and it was... it was like... the air just stood out in front of you and would not let you breathe it.
Yeah.
It taunted me. It's horrible. But I got to make an album, I got to play... one good day of weather, and it was when I played Central Park. Yeah, and then, you know, it'd be all hot and sweaty, and then thunderstorms would just rip on and in with these lightning. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy, but interesting place, New York City.
Yes.
A lot of good chow. Good,
Did
you
play your gig last night?
Gig? I played in West L.A. It was Punk Rock Barbecue with Good Kitty. And I wore my gym bag. I should have brought the gym bag to New York City.
The other night they sat and met at the Echo. They met Lorna Doom.
I saw Friday night at the Redwood Bar and Grill. Lorna Doom played bass for Germs.
Yeah, that's how she told us.
Ah, you met her.
It was interesting. She just asked us for a lighter, and Lou gave her his lighter.
Yeah.
And I told Lou, come on, to a lady, you light her cigarette, you don't give her a lighter. And then we started talking. And
then I walked out. I'm like, do you know who she is?
She was in the. She still is. They still have the band, the Germs,
mm-hmm,
which was big band in our old LA punk scene in the '70s.
'70s. Okay.
Yeah, I saw them in 78, 79. Great album they put out in 79 called G.I.
They met Don last night.
And Don Bull is the drummer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he played in the new Power Rangers. Rob Power Rangers.
What?
Rob Power Rangers. James Williamson was there. In fact, I just came from practice with James Williams. And Scotty Ashton and Steve McKay.
Mm.
Yeah, I've been doing it since last week. We got another 3 days. That's very interesting, playing with them. Still the youngest guy in the band. But the Germs was playing before, even before you were born.
Young boy.
The old man Rafi, even before him. But they're a big band and very innovative and unique. It's individualistic. It was very important to our scene. The singer died very young, 22 years old.
Yeah, that's
right. Darby Crash, yeah. So they carry on the other three with this younger man from Louisiana named Shane. Yeah. So you've been taking him to gigs.
I tried to take him to my life. Mm. Yeah,
wishing
such things as your gig.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of a unique gig. Once a summer, they have this, everybody brings chow, have barbecue, and then play music and... you see people from the old days. Some dude came up from Pedro, Brother Matt, with from A1 Import, brought some parsley and garlic sausages. Yeah. Cat and Mr. Jim, that was great. Nice. There was a lot of good chow in it.
Yeah, I worked there before.
You've been to A1. We all been to A1.
I used to work
on 7th Street,
I was
right?
A token blonde dude. 8th Street, yeah.
8th Street. Sorry. My memory. Bad. I want to ask you guys, but we'll wait for the second hour because we're almost down here, but I want you to think about it ahead of time. You've been to some clubs, some gigs here,
mm-hmm,
SoCal.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you, what's the difference between gigs here and gigs back home?
Okay.
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 To Rafi.
Right.
Think about it.
About the Bulgarian gigs.
Gigs.
Okay, we're at the end of the first hour of Watt from Pedro Show, August 10th, 2009. Hold tight for hour two.
August 10th, 2009. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
One, two, three, four!
Discover that he really wasn't worth it. that he took from you. Everything he could steal. Well, tell me, how does it feel? Well, tell me, how does it feel to be on your own, like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone?
What from Pedro show?
Go to Mexico and then from Mexico.
And Mexico. Yeah, that's how you do it. That's how you do it.
That's the only way.
Or Canada.
It's Canada.
Canada. We just heard.
Okay.
Now starting off the second hour was Chatterbox by New York Dolls. Then we heard Heartbreakers Live doing Chinese Rocks. That's Richard Hell singing. Then K-Sera Sera by Johnny Thunders, and Like a Rolling Stone by Johnny Thunders, both covers. And kind of interesting things I wanted to play with Richard Hell as my guest, but we didn't get to that. He played some Shostakovich and a big long Velvet Underground song. He was, I remember at one point when we were listening to the Velvet thing, he goes, man, I'm running out of things to say. And I said, well, let me ask you questions. So we're talking about with the guests here, sources of words. And I'm surprised that they don't realize that the English has got a lot of French.
Yeah, just the influence is so important, finally. Because I don't know, is there...
You know, why do you think it's called Louisiana?
Yeah.
There's a king called Louis.
Yes.
And you know, Napoleon sold it to Mr. Jefferson for...
trinkets.
Yeah.
Which year was it?
Oh, God, 1805 or something? Louisiana Purchase. They teach us that at school.
Yeah.
Louisiana Purchase. And it was incredible. More than doubled the land.
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge. It went, you know, well, Canada, French word. You know,
yes.
England and France had a war and stuff. And Quebec stayed,
mm-hmm.
kind of. The culture stayed, but the political power went to England. But all that, and the old tradition of the French in the New World was trappers.
Yeah.
So they lived with Indians a lot. They didn't mm-hmm. really build big cities.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the biggest one they built was New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans, huh?
Yeah.
Orleans.
Okay.
Beautiful city.
Okay.
One of the best.
Yeah, but its roots, France.
Yep.
Okay, but all the way up in the north into Canada, it was this whole place. They were here early. Spain was here first, but then France right after. Then England mm-hmm. came a little later.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dutch too.
Yep.
New York's original name was Amsterdam.
New Amsterdam.
Oh, New Amsterdam,
There's a town in Holland called Harlem.
Yeah.
Hoboken.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Brooklyn. Mm. These names are originally from a lot of...
really?
Yeah, because most of the cats came from Europe that settled here in different
lands. Yeah.
But the French guys, big part of our beginnings. And the thing about being a trapper and living with the Indians and not in cities, they married Indian women.
Mm-hmm.
The English kind of brought their own women. So the French inner Spain did it too with the Indians in the Central America and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they call it mestizo.
So what you are saying is that
mix.
Actually French people are in reserved for Indians people?
Probably blooded.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. That's a really weird thing about putting the original people in camps.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very strange. You didn't go to Monticello. You were close there in Raleigh.
Yes.
Oh, his house all painted in blue.
In Raleigh, yes. Yeah. Everywhere.
No, but Monticello, Mr. Jefferson's house, first domed building in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And, he did our Declaration of Independence and little things like that.
One of the founding fathers.
Yeah. And he was big-time fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who was our ambassador? Our first ambassador to France was Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah. So, we probably got some Bulgarian, Armenian next to in Greek, so don't worry. Yeah, we're a land made of different folks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trippy. But I wanted to ask about, since you've been to some gigs, in fact, you went to that one yesterday, difference between
you go to gig a club here and back in France, and you two Raffi back in Bulgaria. You know, what's it seem like? Which contrast?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Same thing?
More or less, well, you smoke in sight. You know, music.
You know, Balkan music is pretty trippy. It's a combination. It has a lot.
Yeah, but see,
should I say Armenian or Turkish influence? I've met some Bulgarian musicians and Balkan musicians. Period.
Yeah.
And it's they combine some Europe, but also with the other parts. It's what we say crux. It's a meeting point of things. Very interesting stuff. I try to play it. Yeah. Kind of difficult. Yeah, the timings and
the gypsy
stuff. Yeah, the gypsy thing strong in it. It's very interesting music. But it's probably not so much in the young people modern music.
No,
rock and roll.
Oh, I have to tell you though, after you know, with the changes.
Yeah.
We call them the democratic changes.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like all of this gypsy influence, Turkish, everything around Bulgaria, Turkish, Greek, Serbian, not so much Macedonian. All of these musics influence Bulgarian music so popular Bulgarian music, club music, radio music, so much that Bulgaria lost its musical identity among many others. But it's weird because Bulgarian music is, and I'm not saying this because I come from there, but you know, musicians would agree.
Yeah,
it had so many specifically original, very original elements. I mean, I don't want to get too musical about this, but compared to its neighbors, and very, very, I mean, almost surprisingly so, given that it's on a crossroad between, you know, you can't come from Asia or
Orient it's a crossroad
to Europe without, you know, yet it has this original musical properties, and most Bulgarians don't know that. Musicians do, of course, but the audience doesn't know.
That happens a lot of times. The local take it for granted. It's oblivious. It's so close to them.
So much. Yeah. If you walk in any Bulgarian club right now, you would not be sure if you're in Turkey or Yugoslavia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That wasn't the case before.
Not so different. I mean,
like U.S. place.
It's just. Maybe the music is different. I mean, it's more electronic music in France because it came from. I don't know here, but in France we have got a lot of famous DJ, French famous DJ. So they are broadcast really often, frequently, in this club. Everybody knows the music, and I don't know. And maybe there is difference with the way of people behave.
More dance music, maybe, versus rock and roll bands.
Yeah, so rock and roll bands practically never. I don't know. It's really electronical.
That's
people are just crazy in it.
In clubs, it's only electronic. We are.
You don't have some guy playing bass and drums and guitar.
No, this is in pubs or bars.
Yeah, for us,
bars,
but not for
like
a
club. English punk or music like that, the influence of English music in France is very important, very strong. When you go to a music shop, you will find half of musicians who are French and the other half will be foreign music. England or American.
U.S.
Yes, U.S.
So when you went to the gig yesterday, kind of surprise?
No, it's just...
I was expecting that. But maybe not so loud, but...
So you mentioned ID hassles. Do you have ID hassles in Europe, too?
ID hassles?
Do you have problems with age?
Never.
No, it's 18 in France.
18, so no problem.
18 for clubs and 16 for alcohol.
Wow.
But last night we took the VIP entrance, so no problem.
Snuck in the back door. That's great. Did you eat any of that barbecue? Did you get them there early or were you late?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we tried everything. We were so angry.
That's good. Good barbecue.
So you guys don't play anything?
They do?
You don't have you play instruments?
Yeah, we play, but a little. I mean, without comparison, we can compare it with your level, but I play guitar and you play.
I used to play bass guitar, but for four years.
Yeah.
But I had to give up with my studies. But now after this trip, I met a lot of musicians.
Yeah.
A lot of bass guitar players.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to start again, just like that.
Yeah. Great. I would. You play?
Yeah, I play freedom horn.
Freedom horn.
Surprise. Was that on air when we were talking about French fries and freedom fries?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, the French horn. French horn difficult. The mouthpiece, right?
Yeah, I get
it. Musicians tell me it's one of the tougher brass instruments because of the mouthpiece.
Yeah. The only one who played with left hand.
Yeah, yeah, that too. You know who was a great French horn player, but who was a bass player? John Entwistle from The Who. Mm.
Really?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
He was a French horn player. I think he was that before he was a bass guitarist in school. But he played on Who records. There's Who songs like Pictures of Lily. Mm-hmm. He was French horn solo.
I didn't know that.
From him, yeah. That's why you're on the show. To learn this stuff. And now we're going to learn from Brother Matt. And his spin cycle.
Cool. Thank you.
This is the intro. Most listeners will never hear this section of the track. DJ. It is used primarily for QAing, mixing, and of course, to create a dramatic effect that will entice the listener to hear more.
Headshot with the UFO in space.
Oh, yeah!
Which must be fulfilled, it's a kind of general prophecy, something like, and man shall become dirigible in the last decade of the first decade of the third millennium. It's general. In other words, what does that mean? Man becomes dirigible. We turn into airships, we become oblate spheroids, we what does it mean? Well, that's open to human definition through specific acts of creation. The levels of novelty or habit in any given moment will be fulfilled, but how they're fulfilled is a matter of human decision. An example which maybe makes this clearer is from statistics. For example, we know that in the next 12 months, between 8 and 11 people will jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. But who those people will be is surely not decided today. They have the right, through the experiences they meet along the way, to either include or disinclude themselves in that group of victims. So in that same way, I think the future, the details are ours to fabricate. The great landscape over which the city of time will be built is given by natural law. And where we are in time is very near this attractor. How, and then people sometimes object to this and say, well, don't you think it's weird, a weird coincidence that we happen to be so near the attractor when presumably it could have been throughout time? Well, no, I don't think it's weird. I think the strangeness of our condition signifies the nearness of the attractor. That the reason our world is so accelerated, the reason all effects are being smeared toward Omega, is because of the nearby presence of this cultural black hole, this singularity of technology and biological intent that is feeding backwards into time these apocalyptic images. And I, you know, would predict that between now and 2012, there will be ever more hysteria, prophecy, prediction, revelation, squirrely teachings, people bawling out their strange despair on every street corner. Because in the collective unconscious of which each of us shares a part, the thing at the end of time is spinning. Like a club ornament, like a Christmas tree ball, like a bar ornament, and it's throwing off scintillations, which are distorted images of itself. The transcendental object at the end of time infects the history that precedes it with the images of its approaching unfoldment. This is what I mean when I say history is the shockwave of eschatology. The presence of history on this planet means that this thing is moving beneath the surface, this protean form that when it manifests, it will shed the institutions of history the way a butterfly sheds a chrysalis when it breaks out of its metamorphosis. But the period of latency, the period inside the shell for this metamorphosing super creature, is the 25,000 year season that we call human history. The fact that it's the same period of time as the precession of the equinoxes, I don't know, don't ask me. Fortune or coincidence. Is that information, which I call novelty, is struggling to free itself from habit, which I call entropy, and that this process, which informs the whole history of the universe on all scales, chemical, biological, cultural, etc., is accelerating, speeding up. And it seems as if what wants to happen is the whole cosmos wants to change into information, or put another way, in a geometric model, all points want to become connected. The thing is achieved through connectivity. The path of complexity to its goals is through connecting things together. Well, if that's true, then you can imagine that there is an ultimate end state of that process. It's the moment when every point in the universe is connected to every other point in the universe. And if that's what the universe is trying to do, to overcome its dissipate state, its spread out state, and somehow function as a unitary monad, then this point does not lie too far ahead of us in time, given the acceleration rates of all these technical processes. So, at least locally. So on one level, I think there is a cultural singularity. What I mean by that is a place in our cultural development where we can't predict or understand what will happen to us. A kind of flip point, if you want, or doorway, if you want, or revelation, if you want. And it's built in to the structure of space and time. It's that novelty in its emergence is now operating at such a fine scale that it's actually reflected in the lives of individual people. The human adventure has become the cutting edge of cosmic destiny. But it won't always be so. It will actually move through the human domain and into smaller and more rapid and compressed domains of concrescence, and probably in our lifetimes. And what will this mean, or what will it look like? It seems to me it's just not possible to say, because we're too far away from it, even though it's only 14 years in the future, if it's in 2012. Those 14 years are going to be so mutational, so transformational, that right now in time we can't see around the corner. We're summoning strange helpers to our aid. The machines that we had such confidence in controlling are actually a kind of intellecty of some sort that is alive and with us in the historical continuum and evolving at a far faster rate than we are. And what all this leads to and how it works is very, very difficult to predict. And I'm not a paranoid. I think it's very difficult to predict. I think we wished for transformation. Western civilization built it into its cultural agenda. Science delivered far more than we ever dreamed in terms of understanding of matter and energy and space and time. And now, under the aegis of market capitalism, where everything is in a state of furious competition, somebody is going to put something together that is just going to completely redefine and rewrite the nature of reality itself. And my bet is it will be some kind of a technology. It could be a drug. It could be a machine. It would be nice to think that it might be a technique or a teaching. But just looking at the history of the human race, I'll bet you it's some kind of technology / drug type thing that is just going to be plugged in to us and our consciousness and our aspirations. And it may already be here. It may be the internet. It may be nanotechnology. It may be biotechnology and cloning and quantum teleportation and virtual reality and all the rest of this. I mean, we are just at the brink of taking these various pieces of the God-magician puzzle and putting them together and figuring out, well, what can you do? What do you do if you can do anything? I mean, that's really the question at the end of history. Once you have overcome all limitations, what is this human agenda?
Hydro, I got a box of ills. I got a pocket full of hydro. Stop, pump, pump, in my lap at all times. I got a pocket full of boobies. I got a hydro, I got a box of hills. I got a get out the way. I'm a mad ride. Real talk, real shit, game, real thick. Turn them off and turn them on like a light switch. Switch the visual concept, your mind blends out. Living the possible placement of intent. Who intend? Forward is potential to grasp this. Past this, implement tactics. The landing, silky, body with the magic trick. Stretch, double dip, kick, flip, flick, lifting, grasp. Critic in the current light, centric. Melt metaphor, twist the cellular in the skin. Hydro, hydro.
maestro.
Difficult. Ready, set, and begin.
Hey, maestro.
Brother Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you much for your Laces Dominant Spin Cycle. Now, what was today's theme?
Well, I've been tripping on a lot of stuff, and Terrence McKenna's entered into some
Terrence
of that.
Terrence McKenna.
So I've been
passed
slipping.
Passed away a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He was living in Hawaii in the last part of his life.
Yeah. So, since we're going to Amazon, I've been doing a little Terrence McKenna homework.
Right.
And listen to a bunch of his stuff and checking it out. So
he's quite a thinker.
Yeah, slipped in a few of his thoughts.
Yeah, quite a thinker. Especially on the perils of modern living.
Yeah, break it out of the monkey mind.
Yeah, what's our couchsurfing.com visitors think of breaking out of the monkey mind?
I think you guys are doing it.
Do the Thai people have a monkey king? Or is
what?
That Borneo?
it's part of a mythology.
Yeah, there's a monkey king, right?
There's a monkey king, I guess, yeah. Hanuman.
Get on the mic,
there, Pete.
There's a Hanuman thing in Thailand, yeah.
A giant mural.
It came from India, really. It's kind of funny because, like, my cousin, who's very Thai, and the Hanuman thing came up like one day. I was talking to him about, you know, I just came back from India. I'm like, oh yeah, there's this whole Hanuman thing. And he's like, isn't that, that's Thai. You know, like he's very proud of that from Thailand, but it actually came from India.
What's the story of the Monkey King?
There's a Chinese version also, I think. But I don't know the details. He's just the king of monkeys. Okay. There's a mythology of, like, always the great battles of some sort, right? And the good guys versus the bad guys, and the good guys was losing, and all of a sudden this herd of monkeys came along, and you can't really control monkeys unless you you get into the Monkey King, and you have to tame the Monkey King. And this particular mythology that, you know, the good guys was able to work with the Monkey King and overcome the evil by organizing, you know, and monkeys and good people to defeat the devil. I don't know, something like that. I'm so bad at that.
Are there monkeys in there? Is there a lot of monkeys in Thailand?
Yeah, I mean, in different contexts, there's like, you know, I've been looking into the Muay Thai situation, Thai boxing, and there are moves that...
There's some monkey influence?
Yeah, because it came from this particular region where there's a lot of monkeys running around. So there's a certain punches that you do that is kind of attributed to the Monkey King or whatever. So it's
Hanuman.
It's silliness, but it's...
Is there a lot of art, a lot of sculpture?
Yeah, there's a lot of art in temples and paintings, and Monkey King is very prominent in Thai art.
Does it have a certain kind of manifest some kind of virtues? What's a good monkey trait?
Monkey trait. I would say if you can control your crazy, you might be mighty powerful. I don't know. I think that's what it means. Everybody has that raw side. You have to learn how to allocate that, you know, rawness into something productive, I think.
Interesting. Monkey kings.
There's a lot of Asian culture.
Is there a monkey queen?
You know, there's not. Maybe that's why he's crazy. Just running around.
With his hordes.
So this symbol works pretty good for America to promote celibacy
and
competition.
I think America needs Monkey King.
Yeah. Monkeys are loud, right?
Yeah, very.
Yammering. A lot of yammering. You know, Friday I played at Redwood Bar and Grill, and we played with the Zeros. Last time I saw the Zeros was 30 years ago, before you guys were born. Maybe Rafi was just putting on his monkey crown. And they were teenagers. They're like 16, 17 years old. They're from Chula Vista down by San Diego, more close to Mexico. And this young band. Now, I was coming from arena rock. 70s music was big shows. You know, big sports arenas and things. No club seating. And I get introduced to this scene, this movement, punk rock, and it's in clubs. And I go to the Whiskey up on Sunset Boulevard, and I see this band, the Zeros, and these young Latin guys writing their own songs, playing their own songs, which was different too, because at that time, people, if you went to see a band that wasn't a huge band, they would copy big bands. And so young people writing their own songs, this was I know it sounds ridiculous nowadays, but it was something very new. And I went and saw the gig, and across the street was a record store called Licorice Pizza, and they had their little record in there, which was amazing. I didn't know a little band could make their own record. I said the Zeros, and there's a picture of them on the cover. Mm-hmm. It was like amazing, you know. That. So I thought, I told my friend D. Boone, you know, maybe we can try and write our own songs and make a record. It was very empowering on us. They were like our monkey king. Monkey princes, something. And to play with them again. Now, one of them kept going and became Elvez. Elvez. And Robert. And so I've seen him around, and he's hilarious. He does, you know, some satire, Mr. Elvis. And, you know, he's just a great entertainer. Puts on great gigs. And actually, a lot of social issues, too, he works into the gig. But to see them play again, it was a trip. Because I hadn't seen them in all those years. And it was neat.
Had they been together all those years, or just got back together?
No, just got back together. They all went their other ways, and I wonder about the bands I saw many years ago what happened to the people, and you know, so when that comes around, it was a trip. And then there was a lot of people at the gig from the old days, like who you met. Lorna Doone was there, Don Bowles, Keith Morris, the singer of the Circle Jerks, Billy Bones, the singer of the Skulls. Yeah, it was. Raymond was there. Yeah, it was an interesting gig. The way Southern California is, it's very spread out. You can play a lot of places. So I play many times a month without being on tour, just local. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was West LA. Friday I played San Francisco with, I don't know, they call themselves a noise band. They got 2 15-minute songs, and they want me to play bass.
Oh, cool.
And we'll be here, too, next week. I do 5 gigs with them. And Tuesday, Dose gig, a week from tomorrow. And we haven't done that in a while. Kay came over for practice yesterday.
Oh, cool. Where's that going to be?
A place called Echo Curio. Up in Echo Park. And then right after, I have to go to Long Beach to play with these San Francisco guys. And then, Saturday I'm going to play at Harold's. Now, it's kind of a combination of Missing Man and Second Man, because one guy from each band can't do it, so I put the other two guys together.
How's that going to be
like?
It's like
the Missing Second Man. It's Pete and Raul, because Tom and Jer, yeah.
Nice.
Have to lay them out. But actually, they played together before, one version of the Second Man to do my second opera.
Right.
In fact, that's when I first started playing with Raul. Interesting. That was the first time I brought him to Europe. He'd never been to Europe. And it was quite a trip. He was great. Pete, too. First time I... Yeah. I know Pete from the Madonna Bees, you know. But to... it's great all these years getting play with those guys, have that consistency.
A lot of cool miles with those guys.
We're going to open up for the Urinals, which was a huge band. They're from the 70s too, like the Zeros, a little bit older. But they had an incredible influence on the Minutemen. We used to do one of their songs, Ack, 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 Ack.
Yeah.
Although we used to only use 3 acts, cut out one of the verses. It's too long. It was a minute long, so it was too long. Or a minute 20 or something. I think we played it about 10 times faster too. So they're coming to the town. Harold's gigs are great. It's a biker bar here in Pedro, so not a far drive, maybe a mile. I like this game. Yeah, from Brother Matt's even closer.
You can walk there, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Have you been to Harold's, Pete?
No, not yet.
Wow.
What's up fearful.
With that? What's up with that?
Fearful.
Fearful. Well, yeah. Kind of, yeah, I can. Some people do get weirded out by there.
Colorful.
No, just from what you guys were talking about a couple of few shows ago.
There's been some things, but usually it's very good.
It's like entertainment, like a little halftime show.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of fun there.
I mean, I'm not afraid of physical altercation, but more like, I don't know.
Well, you use the
mentality.
The Muay Thai on them.
I'm sure you'd be happy about that.
Okay, we're at the end of the second hour. Watch for Pedro Show, August 10th, 2009. Hold tight for hour 3. August 10th, 2009. Third hour, Watch for Pedro Show. And here's part 8 of Jack Flanders and the White Castle.
Jack.
Johnny and I were on the internet. We did some research on Sanford White.
Yeah, they got Wi-Fi all over this joint.
Did you know that back before White got involved with his hedge fund, he was a professional magician?
The Great White.
Is that what he called himself?
Yeah, he was an illusionist.
That was him?
He had a silent partner.
Yeah, his partner was just a boy.
Yeah, his name was Black.
That's right.
Oh, Joe, how did you know that?
I saw them when they played back in Philly. That was a long time ago.
They call themselves White and Black.
The White and Black Magic Show.
Claudine, you know about this.
Yes, Sanford told me.
Oh, I see.
White performed wearing a turban.
They both did. White wore a white suit with a black turban, and Black wore a black suit with a white turban.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Apparently, White loved to design magical machines.
What kind of machine?
Massive, elaborate contraptions. Use mirrors, lasers, holograms.
White would have the boy enter one of these contraptions, and then he'd throw a switch.
It was a giant circuit breaker with a big handle.
And the machine would light up, and spark, and sizzle.
And whine, and smoke.
And finally, explode all over the stage.
What happened to the boy?
He was vaporized.
No, come on.
I think it was part of the act.
The boy would reappear somewhere else in the theater.
He might pop up sitting next to you.
Was he all right?
No, he was all white.
His white turban was looking a little singed.
Well, he started smoking at an early age.
Oh, Jack. White's contraptions kept getting bigger and bigger.
Well, it appears that Sanford decided to build a contraption that was so big he could call it the White Castle.
So is that what this is? We're all going to be vaporized?
What? We'll pop up somewhere else.
Just a little worse for wear.
Smoking.
I think we've all been a little singed.
And it ain't over yet.
I hope you'll never find out. That could cause problems with my own plans.
Does he know about us?
He doesn't have a clue.
Claudine?
What will you tell him?
Well, as little as possible.
Oh, I see. We're back in Paris again.
And if he's suspicious?
Why should he be suspicious?
When he sees us together.
Why do you need him?
Let's just say it's my little experiment.
Well, it won't be easy.
Good.
What's going on here?
He won't be like the others.
I hope not. I enjoy the challenge.
Wait. Don't. Fade away. What was that about? They weren't talking about me.
I think you do.
Who are you?
Maybe I'm you.
You're not me.
I'm more you than you'll admit.
Who are you? Oh my God. Mama?
I knew you couldn't forget me.
You can't be my mama.
There were times I wish I weren't.
You were a terrible mother.
It was not easy for me, Dominique.
You abandoned me.
I gave you my love.
No, you didn't.
I did. In the only way I could. You'd stop by for a visit.
You call that love?
My life was difficult.
I hated you.
No, you didn't, Dominique.
My mother is dead.
No. No, she isn't dead.
You're dead.
Dominique. For you, I'll always be very much alive.
Have you seen Claudine?
No, but I bet Claudine has.
What?
Johnny, come on.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying Claudine has seen Claudine.
What am I missing here?
Whenever I see her, she's standing in front of a mirror. Ugh.
Claudine?
She can't pass a mirror without stopping to look at herself.
Claudine is a beautiful woman.
Yeah, but every 2 steps, stop and check yourself out. I mean, you know.
I hadn't noticed this.
Yeah, well, she does it when you're not around.
She's not that bad. Come on.
Are you kidding? You ever see her trying to walk down that hallway filled with mirrors?
What hallway?
He means the hall with all the different mirrors.
Takes her an hour just to get to the other end.
Oh, come on, Johnny.
I swear, I never saw anyone move so slow.
Come on. Let's go.
That's where I'd look for her.
Jack.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Why?
I sometimes wonder where you are.
I'm everywhere. Can't you see?
Oh, wow. I didn't realize how many mirrors there are here.
There are so many.
Do you find it seductive?
Why do you say that?
Oh, just seeing yourself in all these mirrors.
Every mirror reflects differently.
So, what are you doing?
I'm reflecting.
Do you see anything interesting?
I see myself.
I see.
I like being here.
In this hall of mirrors?
I meant this castle.
Have you heard from Sanford White?
Of course I haven't.
Claudine, how well do you know him?
I met him once. I told you that.
Only once?
Yes. Why?
Why do you keep looking at yourself in the mirrors?
Does that bother you?
Well, I wonder if you're being just a little infatuated with your own reflection.
Are you saying I'm narcissistic?
No, not necessarily.
I'm looking for imperfections.
Really?
Jack, you think you're so perfect.
Me?
Yeah, you really think you are special, don't you?
Special, of course, but perfect? No, not really.
You think you are flawless.
Good Lord.
Everyone here has a personal demon they're contending with. Everyone but Mr. Perfect.
Oh, come on. I have just as many personal demons as the next guy.
Now, you've been walking around acting as though you thought you were the Buddha.
No. Really?
Yes.
Well, that's enlightening.
You can be so smug.
I've made peace with my demons.
Oh, go, go. I want to be alone.
Yeah. Alone to reflect?
Well, exactly. Now beat it, you bum.
Okay.
I'm out of here.
Some information that is in your program, the young man that is behind the drums is not the Norwegian saxophonist Frode Gjerstad, but he has in fact played with Frode Gjerstad a lot, and his name is Endre Lansnes. Yeah. And the bass player, who hails from Baton Rouge, is Bill Hunzinger. My name is Rob Cambry, and we're more or less from New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Stavanger in New Orleans, and it's just a real pleasure to get to play here, especially on this bill with all these great guitar players on the bill too, like Donald Miller, who I'm going to get to play with tomorrow, and Dwayne Dennison and Davey Williams, so it's really a esteemed company to be in. So thank you for coming out, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Interesting. Yeah. But
well, a lot of it, I agree with it.
Watt from Pedro show. Start off third hour there with part 8 of Jack Flanders and the White Castle. Then we heard an untitled improvisation recorded April 13, 2004 with the Dry Banks Trio, which Rob Cambry, guitar, Bill Hunsinger, bass, Andre Lanchis, drums. Saw Rob yesterday. First time I met Rob was many years ago in Baton Rouge. Or, how do you say it?
Baton Rouge.
Yeah, there we go. Baton Rouge. And at LSU, he was a DJ, and he brought over a big sack of mud bugs. You know mud bugs?
Yes.
Crayfish?
I was telling you about it.
The real lobsters on the East Coast, they have big claws. Mm-hmm. The ones on the West Coast are really giant crayfish. They don't have the big claws.
Yeah. Pinch the tail, suck the head.
Yeah, you suck the head, chow the tails.
Okay.
And he brought them over, you spread the newspaper out on the table, and they boil them cayenne pepper, and you just start slaughtering. Yeah.
Nice.
That's how I met Rob, and been friends ever since. Conker his pad when I play New Orleans. He's just a great cat. He's here visiting family. And he was at the gig yesterday and gave me this thing. He had meant to give me this in 2004, so it's been a little while. Brother Matt, you're enlightening our guests with the tales of Burning Man.
Yeah, it's almost Burning Man time. I'm not going, but it's going to be a party.
Labor Day. We have a holiday.
No doubt.
Especially the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, so.
It's in Nevada desert. Black Rock Desert.
Mm-hmm. Black Rock City.
And Origins was a very sad man in San Francisco.
Yeah.
To get over his love loss, in an effigy burned his pain, him and his buddies.
And this is going to be, I think, year 23 or 24.
24 years ago.
Okay. Yeah,
so this happened before you were born.
Something like that. It's getting up.
A lot of stuff happened before you were born, huh?
There's
stuff. Like Sputnik was, I think, a month and a half before I was born.
Before you were born.
Beep. They had a question. We parked down here, and there's lights on the sea.
Oh yeah, they admire on the sea.
Just
big red lights.
Orange lights.
Big red ones. Yeah.
What's that? Fish?
Fishermen?
Oh, on the water?
Yeah.
Probably boats.
Yeah.
I thought it was more like a tower.
Or Monkey King. Monkey King bringing alien friends.
Yeah, that's it. A flying
over
monkey
here.
King of the sea.
Pink wants to take your picture over here. Okay. Just a moment. No. Now, how far into your voyage are you?
Into what, sorry?
Your U.S. voyage.
It's the end now.
It's the end. I leave tomorrow. So sad.
Oh, man.
Where, back France?
Yeah, back France. Yeah.
How long are you here?
Three more days.
Yeah. Back France?
After that, back in France.
Yeah.
End of vacation and then studies again.
Ah, school, right. Summer's over. Rafi, you come here to live. He's asking about how much apartments are in Pedro.
Final decision hasn't been made yet, but probably I'll be out of New York soon.
But you want to come to SoCal and live again?
It's very likely.
Where were you after you stayed here 5 years, right? Went to school.
Yeah.
What school?
Cal Arts,
right on. What's it called? Valencia?
Yeah. Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain, yeah.
Which I've never seen.
I-5. Yeah, I knew that area either. Drive past it on the I-5, though.
Yeah.
All the way up San Francisco. Interesting, I played a Halloween there with the Minutemen.
Yeah, they have Wild Halloween.
Oh, 1983 or something?
Okay.
Yeah. A little while ago.
Study music?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Great. Motoko Honda.
Oh, you know her?
Yeah, she studied there.
How do you know Motoko?
She's been on the show.
Oh, there you go. Do you know her?
Yeah. Met him with her through him.
Yeah. Wild music. We just did a gig for a benefit with her. Money Mark, Nishida, Petra Hayden, Flea, and who was the drummer? Taka-san. Sushi chef.
She played last Saturday downtown.
Really?
Cafe Metropole.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, some pretty trippy music. And collaborators. Usually Joe Berardi on drums. Incredible.
Yeah, that was...
and improvise stuff, and not maybe a lot of tonality, although she can do that.
Yeah.
But it's pretty wild. I wish I could approach that. Maybe too much rock and roll, but I try to learn. She collaborates with Keo Griffith. You know Keo Griffith? Yeah, the Dose gig is with them Tuesday, a week from to tomorrow. But I don't get to see them because I have to go and play Long Beach right after. But
that's better.
Every time I've seen her, she's with different people and different musics. No gig is the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. Pretty incredible. Yeah. And some stuff like theater.
Yeah,
trippy. This one gig, remember, Brother Van? Mm-hmm. Sat in his pad and they're roaming around on the floor and playing with toys and shit. Yeah.
Have you seen the sleep concert? It was
one long, maybe 45-minute, hour-long piece. One tune.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and she's she learned English moving to Kansas.
Yeah, yeah. She said, I want to learn it in the middle of the U.S. So she literally picked a place in the middle of Kansas. Little town in western Kansas. And then came out here and went to Cal Arts.
Mm-hmm. We were in the same classes most of the time.
Wow. Really? I think she studied under Wada. Leo Wada, the trumpet player.
Oh, Leo, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's an incredible musician. I've seen him play.
Yeah, he's a nut job.
Sensei.
Yeah.
Yeah, great cat. Nels knows him. Do you know Nels Klein?
I know him not personally. I know him through association.
Yeah, wild musician. I just made an album with him last week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You played with him?
I played with him many times. And in fact, last year I made two albums with him. I'm going to make two albums with him this year.
And you two came to Japan for the first time.
Yeah, I did. To Tokyo, he just got off tour with Wilco and he did the gig with no practice, and then the next 2 days we made an album.
Yeah,
he adapts very quick. Quick learner. Great cat. I first saw him playing Spanish guitar with Charlie Hayden Liberation Orchestra.
Oh,
yeah.
Love Charlie.
Yeah, that's Petra's father. I recorded with her last, what was it, Thursday? Did something for the Cuss Project.
How's Charlie doing? How is he doing?
He just had a birthday. It was on Thursday.
Yeah.
72?
72?
Wow.
And then, in fact, Petra played with him at the Montreal Jazz Festival the week before. Cool. And he's still, kicking like Kato.
Do you know how I met Charlie?
No.
I was working in the cafeteria at CalArts every lunch. So it was a good opportunity to meet everybody.
Yeah.
So
they serve up the chow.
Huh? Yeah, whatever it was, just a special, just for 1 hour. So this guy comes once, and later I would know that he's a regular. So he comes once with his green glasses,
yeah,
and he says, "Hey man, you have some Perrier for me?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, sir, we don't sell Perrier here." "What are you talking about? You have Perrier for me?" I'm like, "Sir, go get the sous chef." I'm like, okay, I'm going. I'm going to the bag. I'm like,
Kellogg's has a sous chef?
Yeah, we had the cafeteria, yeah.
Wow.
Of course. So I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, this guy, it's Perry. I'm like, I told him already we don't have Perry. He goes, "Who? This, the guy with, you know, the glasses?" Like, yeah. He's especially, there's a case in the back just for him. Don't tell anybody, just for him. He hands just Perry, you give him Perry.
Yeah.
So I go get the Perry again.
Wow.
"So you have Perry?" I'm like, "I'm sorry, sir, it was my fault." No, and then I saw his bass guy next to him.
Yeah.
I knew of his name, but I never knew how he looked like.
I think that bass is like 200 years old. It's an old French bass.
No. There was a bass player next to him.
Ah.
Which I knew from school. So I'm like, "Oh, you must be a musician also." He goes, "Yeah." I'm like, "Oh, I'm Rafi, nice to meet you. I go here in music school." I was trying to warm up.
Yeah,
Charlie Hayden. Oh, shit. Yeah.
You know, he started really young.
Did you know how I started?
Cowboy Charlie.
Right.
Yodeling Charlie.
Right.
The family had a music group.
Yeah.
So he started when he's like 4 or 5 years old.
Have you seen the documentary?
No, there's a documentary.
I accidentally found it on YouTube. It seemed like ultra small, like a baby, singing like on some competition, some radios.
From Missouri, Springfield.
Yeah, somewhere there, like doing country songs. And
yeah.
He did an album now again, country songs, I think.
Yeah. Right.
I haven't heard it.
And there's a Hayden family where he's singing with his daughters.
Yeah.
And his son, Josh. He's Well, you know, the Perrier bottles, they're green, so that's why the glasses.
Who knows? But he allegedly doesn't drink anything else.
No, no.
Water-wise.
He's had an interesting journey. He's a hell of a bass player, very nice man. The Minuteman got to jam with him.
Huh?
He came to McCabe's once we were doing a gig. He came up and did a little man with a gun in his hand.
When?
1984,
mm-hmm.
25 years ago. I'm not going to say it. Hold on.
You can. It's so pretty.
Most interesting experience couchsurfing.com has brought you?
For me?
Yeah.
Which is my best experience?
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. It was maybe... I'm not sure I can say it. It was... I don't know, you know, you just meet really different people because you are in really different places and people on couchsurfing...
Yeah.
Sorry for all American people, but...
Yeah.
Maybe people on couchsurfing are more open-minded than the average of people.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So, people open-minded and more, most of time, different. Like, I don't know, they just...
More individualistic.
Yeah. So, they think by their own, on their own.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They have their proper idea, they don't just follow what you say. And so... Interesting. All our experience have been really interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. We have been hosted by a lot of different people, like gay couple.
Yeah.
Just people on their own, artist people.
Yeah.
Couple like, yeah, we are 50. We've got a good way of life.
Yeah.
Good car. All our family. And I don't know. It's just interesting. I think we have seen every kind of different people you can meet in the United States.
Motorcycle riders?
No.
There's one cat out there you can be right now.
Well, I would have one next time you come back.
Yeah. When we come back.
For me?
Thinking of all the different experiences I had with couchsurfing, this one here in LA with Peak is one of the most interesting one.
Yeah.
Because Peak...
Drive him to say this.
Peak knows a lot of people who makes many different things.
Yeah.
And every time we go with her, we are introduced to people that we had never expected to meet.
Yeah.
And people who are just, hey, you are from France, nice.
Better than Disney.
And the discussion is very easy. We talk about nothing.
Yeah.
And people... Artists, people, mm-hmm. and that's something that I really appreciate.
Yeah, great. Rafi?
I don't know if I can even answer this because I only had two hosts.
I knew.
And I'm
doing it.
I'm totally.
So it's either one or the other.
Right. And one is here. She's a boxer. It's pretty biased situation.
She's been fighting with you yet?
Not yet, but the threats have been numerous.
She'll warm up. No, you gotta start somewhere, and you know, actually the whole ethic I'm quite used to, because when we started touring 30 years ago, and I still tour this way, it was conking at people's pads.
And I experienced this. He would, at the end of the gig, he would announce.
I call from the stage.
Yeah,
he's got a pad we can cock.
Yeah.
Safe place is the number one goal was safe place for the boat.
Yeah. With gear in it. So. Yeah.
They had a safe place for the boat, and then, you know.
The rest we can figure out.
Yeah,
okay.
The rest we can deal with.
We'll see.
And I have some incredible experiences, I'll tell you.
would you share one with us?
Some. They're pretty wild. Pretty fucking shit you could not even believe that's happening. But it happened.
Like what?
I'm alive. Play some music. Actually, a lot of kind people.
Thank you.
intense, but he was a guy, so he didn't really talk about it. So I'm like, what the hell happened? He's like, yeah, he didn't come home.
Yeah, he didn't come home. But then he helped you get into the...
No, that's Jay. That's...
Oh, that was another... She actually got help because her passes only lasted so long. Oh, we're on there. That was some music there from people I played with last week. Dougie Bound with Rothko's Birthday, and then Fluff with Fork from the Nels Klein Trio. The Machine Art versus the Mill Scary. Oh, okay. I didn't play with those. or Dragonfly from Hendikatope. What kind of name is that? And then Pagan Street from Wealth 359. Okay, for the first couple songs, I played with Dougie and Nelson. Actually, I just got the new Uganda solo album.
Oh, cool.
So I got to play some. Yeah, it's kind of creepy. It's kind of like Ghost Stories. I think it's called... Heart Cavern Phantoms. Something like this. Okay. It's trippy record, really good. So we'll play some next time.
Cool.
So, I mean, people got to be safe and stuff, but it's kind of good to go out and not have everything figured out and just let. I remember we had a couch surfing guest that talked about that, like, had the trip all planned out. But then when it came to actually doing it, he liked the way the tangents coincidentally just bounce people off people.
Flex factor.
Yeah, flex factor. The other side of the monkey brain. Right? What are you studying in school?
Engineering.
Engineering. That's what Kay got her degree in.
5 years after high school.
Yeah.
It's the minimum to have a good income in France.
Yeah.
So 5 year studies.
Job.
And you need to do them.
Yeah. What kind of engineer? Mechanical, electrical.
It's global college.
Yeah.
So we are taught everything.
Ah.
But at the end of the studies, we have like a specialty in something.
You gotta specialize.
Yes,
right.
And I will specialize in electronics and computer.
Electronics, yeah.
So are there a lot of jobs?
Sorry?
Are there a lot of jobs?
In engineering?
Yes. Yeah. For computers in cars, planes, stuff like that. And I wanted to be a sound engineer.
Ah.
I really wanted, yes. That was kind of my dream to achieve.
Yeah.
But my parents told me, finish your studies, and then, because I had this idea after beginning my studies, after starting.
Right.
So I could have stopped it and start again, but it was waste of time, so I finish my studies, and if I'm really interested, I will specialize again in sound engineering.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to do.
Because they use electronics big time.
Yes.
And in a lot of ways, with sound, I don't know if you've explored a lot, but it's not the newest gear that is the most sought after. People want the old gear.
Oh, yes.
For example, Neve, you know, console made in the 60s.
Yep.
Much more desirable than maybe the newest digital mixing desk.
But right now, since they are older, they become very expensive.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Very sought after.
Mm.
And there was something about the quality of sound that isn't always dependent on new gimmicks. People spent lots of time and put their experiences into these equipments. Also, the nature of sound isn't so much on-off like digital world. It's about resonances.
Yes.
And in the older days, that's how equipment ran.
Mm-hmm.
Vacuum tubes, transformers, devices that aren't used much.
Mm-hmm.
Not in my Casio watch. but because of some kind of qualities. I mean, there's great stuff about the modern. You could never deliver music or share music in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
like you can now. So there's some advantages about nowadays. But then some things got lost too. Some of these analog, we say analog, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not on-offs, but resonances.
Yeah.
And I think that science, or that study, will never disappear. And there's a lot of stuff people got onto in those days that we're still finding out about. Be incredible. Sometimes new isn't always best. And you'll figure it out. There's always good stuff ready to be invented, though.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody once told me there's nothing more dangerous than a good idea.
Probably. We need to try first.
Yeah, right, right.
Every time.
Right. Like with bass guitar, huh? There's 5-string, 6-string, 7-string.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there's a lot that still can be done with this 4. And I wonder about it sometimes. Or with a violin.
Yeah.
Stradivarius. Mm-hmm. Not the most recent. I think a lot were made. A couple hundred years old. They're very sought after. There's a quality to sound that doesn't actually come with innovation.
How many?
Because I think you're dealing with laws of how the earth was made. And maybe not so much ideas. It's in tune with something very close to creation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But ideas are great too. And like I said, especially this way of sharing information, we never had that in the older days. So that's what makes the newer days really kind of great. So probably an ideal situation, marriage between the two. The great old discoveries are refinements of natural laws, and then the new innovation. And probably the greatest thing that shouldn't be solved is the problem of creation, being creative. Even though more and more tools, still, to be creative and fire up people's minds, that's a great mission. Lou? You go back to school?
After, yeah.
Yeah, what's your study?
Engineering school.
Like him?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly the same. We met in the same school.
Ah.
Because we were in this...
When you're at the time for you to specialize, what are you going to choose?
Something like clean energy.
Clean energy.
Save planet, people.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Fusion. Yeah, but if I didn't succeed, I'm really interested in aeronautics. Aeronautic, like airplanes, plane.
Aeronautics.
Aircraft, you say?
Yeah, yeah.
Like fight plane.
You say aeronautics.
Yeah, so.
Maybe space.
Yeah, just because everybody wants to fly, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's incredible.
And I want to have wings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a dream for me.
You like pelicans? You know about pelicans? I love pelicans. Rafi, now you're done with school.
I hope
so. And you did a music thing.
Yeah.
So you want to go further with music?
Not. I don't want to do any more school, but I mean, you know.
You want to go further with music, though?
Yes,
school of life.
Right. I don't know. I'm kind of in a crossroad right now, facing some real life questions that don't work with my music life so far.
Yeah. Like making a living.
Like that.
Believe me, man, it's a trip. I never thought I'd get to make a living out of it.
Guess what? Yeah. It's on a permanent crossroad. Permanent crossroad.
I think I'm a bass player. I think I made a decision. Stuck with it.
And if you have a dream to fulfill, what is it?
I want to get a lot of works. I've been doing a lot of gigs.
Uh-huh.
And I think gigs are very important to play for people in the moment, but also to have works that are here after you. I'm 51, probably no children. My children are my works.
Yes.
To share with people when I'm gone.
Uh-huh.
So I got big focus on that. I have a lot of projects in the pipeline right now to compensate for too many gigs. Gigs are important, though.
It's a balance.
It is. It is the kind of thing. So that's where my focus is. I want to learn more with the bass. I think everybody's got something to teach you. Even people who don't do music, writers,
mm-hmm.
engineers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's kind of my philosophy. Of course, I want to be less of an annoyance to everyone. That's my charity work. I want to thank all of you for coming on the Watt from Pedro show. Yeah. Lou, Romain, Rafi,
thank
much
you.
Respect to you. I think what you're doing is righteous. And thanks for sharing your story, Peak. Thank you for bringing them.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Brother Matt, always for your most essential aid in a bed.
Sir.
And good luck on your Blue Morpho adventure
you.
In Amazon.
Thank you.
Amazon. I forgot to ask.
Yeah.
And when you come back, you have stories for us on air.
Yeah, looking forward.
It's been the August 10th, 2009 Watt from Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.